Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Lydia Johnson. This week, we're excited to bring you a special edition of the show from the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention. First, we have a discussion with House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania and Ranking Member Angie Craig of Minnesota about their vision for leading the panel in the new Congress. We also sat down with American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval to discuss the organization's annual convention. More than 5,000 farm leaders gathered in San Antonio this week for competitions, educational sessions, Texas agriculture tours, and networking with members from across the country. Attendees also participated in the annual delegate session, confirming the organization's policy agenda for the year. House Ag Committee leaders Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania and Angie Craig from Minnesota also attended the convention for a Farm Bill update session. We sat down with the Ag Committee leaders in San Antonio to discuss their priorities for passing a Farm Bill in the next Congress, beginning with their plans to work with new committee members.
Well, obviously, member education probably is priority one. Issues change, obviously. We were very successful getting $10 billion for economic distress back in December. But that still has to be distributed by USDA. And so I think we have a lot of member education. We've already started that, whether it's by title or by program. And I think that's probably a priority number one, obviously, as we weigh in. And we'll do that with opportunities for round tables. We'll bring folks in from the outside to be able to do briefings. And then we have new members on the committee on both sides of the aisle. Great members, I think, on both sides of the aisle. But, you know, Farm Bill is a pretty complicated piece of legislation. So we have a lot of work to do with them to bring them up to speed.
You mentioned that member education. What's your vision for the timeline of that as we're entering a new Congress?
Oh, the member education, constantly. We've already started. And it's just something we're going to have to do continuously, right? Even beyond the Farm Bill, because we have a lot of things we're responsible for with Commodities Future Trading Corporation. That needs reauthorized. We have a market structures crypto bill that actually I think is a priority of the administration and something that we passed out of committee in the 119th Congress.
Ranking Member Craig, you were elected in December as the panel's top Democrat. How do you see this as an opportunity to redefine how the Democratic Party is represented in rural America? And what's your vision for collaborating with Chairman Thompson to renew a five-year Farm Bill?
Well, I'm incredibly optimistic that the chairman and I are going to work really well together. We were down in right off to Pennsylvania as soon as we were both sworn in. I've been in the job just over 20 days. I've got some great new members on the Democratic side, folks whose family own feed stores in California, whose families were cattle ranchers in Alabama. I've got some great new members who have an ag background. We'll have to have some education. The Farm Bill is complicated with the number of titles in it. And I think that the chairman and I are going to work really well together. I think the Senate, new leadership, Amy Klobuchar and I are both from Minnesota, and we work really well together. And John Bozeman, I grew up in Arkansas, the granddaughter of a farm foreman who farmed rice and beans and cotton. So I think there's a lot of synergy here, and I think that we're just going to keep working together no matter what happens through the ups and downs of a Farm Bill.
We're looking at a Republican trifecta in the House, the Senate, and the White House in this new Congress. How do you see your role on the House Ag Committee as an opportunity to redefine what the Democratic Party stands for and what it looks like in rural America?
Well, I've said to my colleagues that we've got to show up and listen to people, because when you do that, you focus on their priorities. And what my family farmers have been telling me for a long time is, we're getting stressed here. We're getting squeezed. High input prices and, low commodities prices have really been squeezing family farmers. And I think helping all my members to understand the pressures of family farming and how important it is that we allow these new and beginning farmers to get into farming, and we're able to protect the ability to pass down the family farm to the next generation. These are some of the things that I'm going to make sure my members understand fully.
A rise in bird flu infections and the impacts of Proposition 12 have raised the price of food for Americans. Egg prices in particular are going through the roof right now. How do these issues add pressure to you as leaders and add pressure to the committee to pass a new Farm Bill?
Well, you know, I led the bill for more research for bird flu and other disease outbreaks last Congress. And so this is going to be a huge priority of mine. I have to say that, you know, poultry, eggs, dairy farms across our country are really nervous right now. And I think they're right to be. There were some programs put in place by USDA on the way out the last administration, and I'm going to be looking to work with Chairman Thompson and Brooke Rollins to see how the next administration rolls those programs out.
We'll be back with more from the House Ag Committee leadership right after this.
These are the farmers and ranchers who helped build the America we depend on, and Farm Credit is here for them, supporting rural communities and agriculture with reliable, consistent credit and financial services. In good times and bad, we provide loans to farmers and ranchers, farmer-owned cooperatives, rural home buyers, agribusinesses, and rural infrastructure providers. We help agricultural producers feed the world. Learn more today.
I think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you Yes. asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources.
This
is my sustainability story.
Welcome back. Disaster and economic aid payments for farm country were included in the December government funding package, but the farm economy is still struggling. We asked House Ag Committee Chair Glenn Thompson when he expects to have a new farm bill to provide additional assistance.
Well, let me say, first of all, just how proud I am of how in a tripartisan way we stepped up and really made the point that our farmers and ranchers were struggling so badly. I've never seen the ag industry flex its muscle the way it did in December in order to get that necessary money. It's going to be really important that we, and I think we are going to work well together. I'm excited about the team that we have. I call us farmhands with, you know, the committee, the leadership on the House, the Senate side. Brooke Rollins is going to be an outstanding secretary to work with. And then I know that farmers are a priority for President Trump. And so, you know, we need to get the farm bill done as soon as possible. The longer we wait into the fall to do that towards the end of the year, I think only means we're gonna have to come back to the table for more economic aid. Now, we can avoid that. Producers don't want it. They prefer not to do it. I don't wanna do it. But the way we avoid that is getting the farm bill done. You know, because of the improvements that we've made to the safety net programs, it will just prevent having to do that in the future. And so the goal obviously is for us to work efficiently, to work effectively, to work cooperatively. Farm bills are always bipartisan and bicameral. And the sooner that we can accomplish that, the better for everyone.
SNAP has been a long-time issue for the committee and likely will be with this Congress as well, especially as we turn to budget reconciliation discussion. With such a slim margin in the House and the likelihood that some House Republicans will not vote for any kind of farm bill, how do you plan to find common ground on the issue and ensure that there are enough votes for a farm bill to pass off the House floor?
Yeah, when it comes to SNAP, I've always been proud to be a champion for SNAP. The Supplemental and Assistance Program, I mean, that's rural America, neighbors helping neighbors in need, and for those families that are dealing with financial stress. And so there is one misinformation I really want to put out there and address that's floating around the media, that somehow I'm looking to roll back the Thrifty Food Plan adjustments that occurred. That is not the case. We need to be forward-looking. We need to make sure that we're doing things in a transparent way in terms of the delivery of SNAP and the integrity of the program. We will be going through some budget reconciliation. That's obvious. Our committee will be getting some directions and instructions from the budget committee on that. But it's really gonna be outside the scope of the farm bill itself. We're not looking to cut anybody's benefits. I think that's important that we you know, that we protect our seniors, we protect our children, protect folks with disabilities. But there's just a lot that we can do in terms of, I think, improving the program and the transparency of it, holding states responsibility. I mean, they're a partner right now. They have no skin in the game, and so there's no incentives for them to kind of police and prevent the fraud that we hear reported on a regular basis.
And Ranking Member Craig, Republicans have floated major cuts to SNAP as part of their budget reconciliation process that they'll use to pay for other policy priorities, including tax cuts. If they do that, how would that affect your support for passing a farm bill?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the major challenge that we face. And look, I've been really proud to hear GT talk about that he does not want to roll back the SNAP program. And so, you know, that's great. I just hope that there aren't other folks in the Congress or in the administration that come and do that, because it's going to be really difficult for me to get 100, 150 Democrats to support a farm bill if for tax cuts they come and take $300 billion from the program. And GT knows this. We've had this conversation from the start, which is, you know, no matter what happens, though, we're going to keep coming back together. You know, we're not going to make this personal, which is where I think people get, you know, sideways on the farm bill. And I hope that we're able to figure this out. It's always been astounding to me, and this is not GT, so I'm not directing this at him. But when you look at the potential instructions, we'll see what happens. You know, if those instructions include to cut SNAP, what ends up happening, in my mind, is you're cutting farm income. You know, this is the food that producers are producing that SNAP is supporting. And so the truck drivers that get it to the grocery stores, the clerks that put it on the shelves. And this is why I think, you know, GT and I both understand that SNAP is an economic benefit to this country. Every dollar invested is about $1.50 back to the nation. And of course, feeding hungry kids and veterans and seniors has got to be a priority for this country. On the other hand, GT's right. We got to make sure that this program runs efficiently. We've got to make sure that there is not waste, fraud, and abuse in it. And so we'll be looking for that common ground. I think that's the thing that GT and I bring to the table, is we're going to disagree on some things. We're also going to say, okay, where can we find some common ground?
We'll be back with more from American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval right after this.
Weeds, razor-thin margins, supply chain disruptions. American farmers need innovative solutions to tackle the threats that impact us all. Their yield is their livelihood, and the food that feeds our families. That shouldn't be on the line. Which is why the Modern Ag Alliance advocates for access to essential crop protection tools, like glyphosate, to keep the future of farming in secure, hardworking hands. Get the facts and see what could be at risk.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of our space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Welcome back. Zippy Duval is president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. At the organization's annual meeting, I asked President Duval how the event is going and what the biggest concerns he's hearing this week from farmers looking into 2025.
I think there's, we always have concerns, but I think there's a lot of interest in what the future holds with this new administration. And we've got some experience with his first term there, and he comes back with a lot of experience and ready to take off running, and he has taken off running real fast. So undoubtedly it makes our farmers just wonder how it's going to affect us and some of the policies he's putting out there, not in a critical way, just a curious way. And, you know, I promise them we're going to work to get that seat at the table and make sure that their voice gets heard in all the consideration of things that they're going to be doing in the future. Convention's going well. We've had some great speakers. Everybody's really been happy with that, and got my annual address behind me. So I think it's going good, and everybody seems to be in a good humor and having a good time.
And to address the challenging farm economy, Congress authorized $31 billion in disaster aid and economic assistance in December, With the massive legislative issues on the to-do list this year, how do you think Congress will prioritize renewing a five-year farm bill with everything else on the docket?
Well, I think, you know, with the pressure that we as an industry and Farm Bureau put on to get that $30 billion plus dollars put in there for disaster of economic and disaster payments, really highlighted the situation that farmers are in today. And they're in that situation because Congress has kicked the can down the road for almost three years, two years, and now going on three. To not pass a modern farm bill. So I think the pressure is really on. I think what happened at the end of the year and that year-end package highlighted how important it was for them to get it done. We've had conversations with Chairman G.T. Thompson, and he feels like they're going to get started and get started quickly and get it out the gate. So the thing that makes me nervous is there's so many big things on the list around agriculture. It's not just that, it's labor, it's tax reform, so many things that are big out there and it affects agriculture tremendously.
You mentioned all the discussion this week about the incoming administration, but since President Trump took office last week, he's already made an executive order directing mass deportations. How do you see this impacting the ability of your farmers to attract workers and potentially impact food costs as a whole?
Yeah, I think everybody's really nervous about people being scared away from their jobs. And I haven't heard a lot of people haven't called me directly yet and said they've had incidents on their farm yet, but they're nervous about their workers really showing up for work. So that's a concern. And I think the biggest concern is we don't really know what step two, step three, step four is that the president's planning on taking, because we know that right now he's removing the people that he's identified that was been criminals and done bad things. And, you know, no one in America wants those type of people here. So everybody supports that. But it's the next few steps that's going to concern us. And, you know, that goes right back to what I said. You know, we're hoping to build that relationship with the new people around the president. We'll have a relationship with him and be able to make sure that the voices of the farmer gets heard as they take those steps or as they consider those steps.
We'll be back with more from San Antonio right after this.
Think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources. This
is my sustainability story.
Weeds, razor-thin margins, supply chain disruptions. American farmers need innovative solutions to tackle the threats that impact us all. Their yield is their livelihood and the food that feeds our families. That shouldn't be on the line, which is why the Modern Ag Alliance advocates for access to essential crop protection tools like glyphosate to keep the future of farming in secure, hardworking hands. Get the facts and see what could be at risk.
Trump's tariff threats have been looming for months through the campaign and could soon take effect. We asked American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall if he's concerned about a trade war for American agriculture.
We'll start off with our policy doesn't support tariffs, so we would be against them. But we also know that this president is very popular among rural American farmers and ranchers, and they want to see him be successful, and so do we. And his talk about threatening of tariff is in a way of using it as a tool, and we've seen examples of that already. They use it as a tool, and policies were changed already within the first 10 days. You know, so if that's the way he's going to use it, that's acceptable to us as long as it doesn't hurt agriculture. But our history with him is that if in using it as a tool to try to move his policies forward, if it hurts agriculture, he's always stood behind us and provided some kind of assistance. Now, is that what we want? Is that what we desire? Not really. We want to open markets and compete on the world market. But if the president has to use those tariffs as a tool and it does do harm, we're going to be looking to him to make sure he supports our farmers. Because it's not just supporting farmers, it's actually making sure that our food system doesn't get interrupted, whether it be immigration, or whether it be deportation, or whether it be through tariffs. we can't afford to interrupt the food system, supply system, because then it would affect every American out there, and it would affect cost of producing products. It would affect the cost of food to people in the country, which would not be a popular or a positive thing.
And during Trump's first administration, Secretary Perdue served at the Department of Agriculture, and now Trump has nominated Brooke Rollins to serve as Secretary of Agriculture in his incoming administration. I wanted to get your thoughts on her as the nominee.
Sure, everything that I know about Ms. Rollins is that she's going to make an outstanding secretary. We're looking forward to working with her, and I'm looking forward to building a strong relationship with her, just like I did with Secretary Perdue and like I have with Secretary Vilsack. And we're going to continue to work with her and make her successful, because if she can be successful, our farmers will be successful. So we're looking forward to the opportunity.
How confident are you that Brooke Rollins, if confirmed as Secretary of Agriculture, will follow through on her pledge to support farmers with financial aid? During her confirmation hearing last week, we heard her pledge that she would financially support farmers if there is a trade war.
I also heard that information too, and I almost mentioned it just earlier when we were talking about that. You know, for her to say that in the hearing means that they've already had those conversations, and they already know that there's a possibility that it might have a negative effect on agriculture. So that brings me comfort that they've already had those conversations. And we look forward to working with them to put something like that on the ground if that's what it comes to.
And during that hearing, Brooke Rollins said that she's already had discussions with Secretary Perdue about how those payments were made during the first Trump administration, saying that they will be done the same way if it does happen while she is in office. So are you in support of how those payments were made last time, and would you be in support of them being made the same way?
Well, whether it's sufficient, it depends on how much money she's willing to put into that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Secretary Perdue was and President Trump were very gracious in the first. And of course, there's some people that complain about how it's delivered and where it's delivered and at what level it's delivered. You know, you can't put a massive program out like that and, you know, in a matter of months and make everybody happy. But obviously, it was a tremendous help to making sure that agriculture could sustain itself through a very difficult time.
During the hearing, Rollins highlighted the need to eradicate bird flu and New World screwworm. What else do you think the USDA should be doing to address both of these challenges in the incoming administration?
Well, you know, I think that all of our secretaries in the past done a great job of trying to control all diseases. And I think Secretary Vilsack's done a good job trying to get avian influenza under control. And we just need to continue that good work. And I'm sure with new people in those positions, they have some new ideas and new creative ideas that might make them get there quicker. But it is vitally important to our supply chain that we eliminate these diseases because it definitely is a huge interruption to the food system. And, you know, anytime you have an interruption to the food system, it's going to drive the cost up and it's going to cost the American people more to buy their food. And none of us want that.
Well, President Duvall, thank you so much for the conversation and thanks for having us at convention.
Thank you. We really appreciate you coming to our convention. We've had almost 5,000 people here or maybe more, and they seem like they've had a good time. But I would say they're not nervous, but they are concerned and curious about what the future holds.
Thank you for the conversation.
Thank you.
We'll be back with a look at the week ahead right after this.
Elevate your game and set your sights on Denver for the 2025 Commodity Classic. With technology that moves faster than fluctuating markets and information as important as a million-dollar rain, Commodity Classic is designed for growers of all kinds, where you'll broaden your horizons as you improve yield and ROI one bushel at a time. Take your operation to new heights and join us for Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at CommodityClassic.com.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Thanks for joining us on this week's AgriPulse Newsmakers. Next week, both the House and Senate will be in session. For American agriculture and the U.S. food system, 2025 has the potential to bring more sweeping legislative and regulatory changes than we've seen in the last couple of decades. Join industry leaders at the AgriPulse Ag and Food Policy Summit on March 17th to discuss taxes, trade, and technology in 2025. Early bird rates are available through February 17th. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Lydia Johnson. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.